Creed this time. We've gone through it a couple times before. In our prayers today, we're going to be including Linda Anderson's friend. Her name is Sherry McAtee. Sherry has just been diagnosed with cancer. And also, we're going to pray for Lori's son, Aaron, who has also been diagnosed with cancer. So you'll hear those two names in the prayers of the church today. Yes. So we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the opening sentences. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Through his word, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Creation begins with the presence and the activity of all three persons of the Trinity. Our lives as Christians begin in baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are gathered to worship and glorify the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity acts together in beginning creation to begin our Christian lives and begin our worship today. We sing our opening hymn. Despite the perfect union, despite this perfect creation by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have all fallen into sin and failed to live as holy and perfect creatures. Let us confess our sins to God, our Heavenly Father. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Yet we have failed to proclaim your majestic name in our communities. We have denied your glory and sought our own glory. We see your mighty works, wonders, and signs every day, but we often fail to find delight in them. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus by your Spirit. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for your sins. Jesus Christ was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the chains of death. God has given all authority in heaven and on earth to Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ. He has sent the Holy Spirit, who has called, gathered, and kept you in the one true faith of your baptism. As a commissioned servant of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are forgiven. The Holy Trinity works together to accomplish our forgiveness and salvation. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and worship the unity in the power of divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. May be seated as the first two lessons are read.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 31, and then 2, verse 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the water that were above the expanse. And so it was. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plant yielding seed, fruit, trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs of the seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And so it was. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters warm the swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters." Excuse me. "And fill the waters and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth their living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind." And so it was. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You have them for food. And to every beast in the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was good. And there was evening, and there was the morning, the sixth day. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Velma deserves a break after that long one. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 8. We read it responsively. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields and the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The epistle reading is from Acts chapter 2, 22 to 36. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you have not abandoned my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, and he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we see all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Be to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you look at today's readings, they initially seem like they're kind of eons apart. The Old Testament is the story of creation. The second reading comes from Acts, and we hear part of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And in the gospel lesson, we read Jesus' last instructions to the disciples. Writing a meaningful sermon from those texts was initially a challenge, and I had some struggles coming up with what did I want to say? What do you need to hear on this day that we look at the Trinity of our God? One of the things I thought about was talking about the creation story and emphasizing that beautiful prose that we see there. God said, and it was good. And I thought about preaching, too, on the reading from Acts about Peter's sermon, but we've really been talking about that for the last couple of weeks, and we've kind of had parts of it for our readings. So I thought, well, the gospel. You can't go wrong preaching on the gospel. It's short. What could possibly go wrong? Then I thought, well, maybe I should preach on the Trinity. I could explain the Trinity in that 15 minutes or so that I preach. Or maybe not. That would be a little bit tough to do, because our church fathers, each time they tried to explain the Trinity and come up with a creed that would explain that, those creeds got a little bit longer. The Apostles' Creed that we did today was the shortest. The Nicene Creed got a little bit longer. And then we come to the Athanasian Creed, which is like 40 or so sentences long. And so I realized that trying to explain the Trinity might cause some problems. And I knew you could get in trouble that way. My cousin got in trouble with talking about the Holy Spirit many years ago. In the late 50s, and she was in grade school, she came home and her parents asked her what she had learned in Sunday school, and she said, "We learned about the Holy Spirit, Daddy-o, Laddy-o, and Spooky-o." So then I thought, well, maybe it would be well to follow the advice of some great religious person. And so I came across a short article by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist, excuse me for saying that, in a Lutheran church, was a Baptist preacher and religious person in the late 1800s. And one of the things that he did was established a seminary for teaching pastors. One of his pastimes and favorite things to do to students was to call one of them up before a class and give him a topic and say, "Here's the topic, I want you to do an extemporaneous sermon on this." One such student was given the assignment to speak about Zacchaeus. This poor student stood up before the class and said, "Zacchaeus was small of stature, and so am I. Zacchaeus was up a tree, and so am I. Zacchaeus came down, and so will I." And he sat down and probably had a great career, because he said things in rather succinct messages. Well, ultimately, my choice was to talk about the gospel today. I would hope that when somebody says Matthew 28, the first thing that pops into your mind is the Great Commission. It's where Jesus tells the disciples to go and to teach and to baptize. So as I considered that text, there were several things that came to mind, questions that came to mind and thoughts that I had, and so I want to share some of those with you this morning. My first thought was that Jesus doesn't say, go and teach and baptize up until you're age 70 and then you can retire. He doesn't say, well, if your church is older than 125 years, you can stop going and teaching and baptizing and just sit back and relax. Jesus tells us we are still supposed to try to fulfill that command, that Great Commission. During my tenure here, we've talked at some length, in Sunday school in particular, but also in a lot of other meetings, about how we might make this church grow and how we thought we might try to fulfill that great command. I may be wrong, but I don't know that anyone in any one of those conversations ever mentioned the Great Commission. Jesus' words this morning to us are a direct charge. So the question then became, in my mind, why do we want this congregation to grow? Are we seeking to save souls for Christ? Or are we looking for someone to take our place in the council, to teach Sunday school, and to organize Vacation Bible School? One of the comments that I hear frequently is, well, we need to have some young families here. And I agree with that. That would be wonderful if we had young families. We certainly remember what it was like when we had our children and they were growing up, when we had a large youth group and people went to summer camp and young people did all kinds of projects. And we remember when there were probably a dozen people standing here on the day when the class was confirmed. But according to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2015, only 45% of adults were married. So that means targeting young families means we are ignoring almost half of the rest of the adult population immediately. And beyond that, young families today are a great deal different than they were in our day, if you will. Today, families are led by single parents, by grandparents, by foster parents, by cohabitating unmarried parents, and even gay parents. And because of all the stresses in the world today, children have behavioral problems that just don't occur to us as being possible. With both parents working today, there is less time for them to devote their attention to what their children are doing, whether that be in school or whether that be in church. In spite of working two incomes, young families today struggle financially and are much less able to support churches than we might expect. Young families today are just not what we recall them to be. They are much different than we were, and we must minister to them much differently because of that. So I thought, what are we supposed to do? Well, the first thing we might do is start by asking, what is God's will for us? And I think we have been doing that. What is God calling us to do? What is God's goal for Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Albany, Oregon? We might say, God, you know the future. Show us the way to accomplish this great commission that we read about today in the gospel lesson. How can we, at our age and with our limitations, follow that command? It would be easy for us to feel guilty because it seems like we haven't been doing a very good job. As I said, we remember when the congregation filled this building. We remember when there was Vacation Bible School that had dozens of children every summer. Perhaps the answer to that question, what are we supposed to do, comes in Peter's sermon today. That was Peter's first sermon. And let me tell you, sermons don't come easy when you first start. They don't come easy after you've been doing it for a while. Yet, because of Peter's sermon, 3,000 people came to faith that day. So what did he do? What did he say that brought that many people? It was a simple sermon. You should go back and read it again. He addressed people's questions. He told the story of what had happened. He told the story of God's love. He talked about Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And he called those people to confess their sins and to be baptized. It was just that simple. It wasn't complicated. So how can we keep our evangelism simple and uncomplicated? We know that God loves this whole world and he wants every human in it to be saved. And so because of that love, he gives each of us spiritual gifts. That seems a little strange, but he calls us here at Emmanuel to share that good news, to share just exactly the things that Peter shared. Those disciples were pretty simple and flawed individuals who had no education. And yet, God asked them to go out and share that gospel. And he asks us today No, he commands us today to be ambassadors of his love in the world. He calls us to bear that urgent message to those who have not yet heard. If you talk to anyone who is in business, they will tell you the best advertising is word of mouth. When you tell somebody else about a favorite business or a favorite restaurant, you're encouraging people to go to that business, to try a meal at that restaurant. To be an evangelist is to tell the good news, to tell of how God works in your life. And so what is it that we are to do? You can point to the good work that Christ has done in your life. You can tell them why you believe. You can tell them about that certain hope that you have of eternal life because of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. You can tell people about the blessings that God has showered on you every day. And because you can be enthusiastic about your faith, as you are enthusiastic about your favorite restaurant. And so the way to answer that call today is to go and to teach and to tell your story and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. It's up to him. It's just that simple. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The offering is received. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your heart, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you, Terry, in the name of our Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God in this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do
by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church?
I do.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work of our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts that God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. You are encouraged to receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us all in the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to this church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your great goodness in bringing Terry to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling him with the heart to believe and the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit we may continue steadfast in the one true faith in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we wait the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you forever. Amen. Welcome to the church. You may be seated. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all of the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in our limited human ability to understand, we struggle with the concept of your unity in Trinity. But you, O Lord, are sovereign, and that we can understand. Help us to know and understand that which we can and accept that which we do not understand. You revealed some of the ministry of the Trinity as you sent your disciples to teach your word and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Support us as we share with others the story of salvation accomplished by our triune God. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you command us to go and to teach and to baptize. We get that. What we struggle with is how does this congregation of broken and weak human beings fulfill that command? Lord God, you know our limitations, but you also know the way that we should go. Holy Spirit, stir up in us a clear understanding of how we might respond to your command to go and to teach and to baptize. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, as the Father sent you, so you send us, your disciples, to spread the good news of the gospel that others may be saved. We pray that today you would raise up pastors and teachers and missionaries to bring your saving gospel to the ends of the earth so that all may know you as both Lord and Messiah. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you are our great physician. We pray that you would bring healing and comfort to all those who suffer from mental illnesses, from physical disabilities, from stress, and from every disease. We especially ask your healing powers upon Paula, Dan, Jerry, Audrey, Ralph, Piper, Norm, Aaron, and Angie. Restore them to good health according to your good and gracious will. And today we lift up to Sherry McAtee. We ask that she be healed of her cancer along with Aaron. And we pray for comfort, your comfort to be upon her. And finally, we pray that you would make your comforting presence known to those who cannot be with us today. We pray for Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Audrey, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Grant to each of these your grace that they might endure their suffering until you heal them in this life or the next. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, on the sixth day you proclaimed your creation was very good. Though that creation has fallen into sin, you provide many moments of wonder and goodness. We praise and thank you today for all that you have given us. We celebrate in thanksgiving our new member Terry and with all those who celebrate birthdays or anniversaries or other special occasions. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, O Lord, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive the blessing of the triune God, the grace of our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. There. Larry, could we have you come up and... caught him when he wasn't looking.
Have you been on the phone with customer service and the aggravation that goes with that? Well, Dave Lancaster, Gideon, was on the phone. He had computer trouble and he was on the phone with tech support. And rather than grinding his teeth, he asked the person, "What's her name?" And she said that her name was Faith. And he said, "Where do you live?" And she said, "The Philippines." He said, "Well, I love the Philippines. It's one of my favorite countries." He said, "In 2011, 23 Gideons went there from 9 different countries, and we handed out 1.6 million scriptures in just a 2-week period." She said, "I was in college at that time. I received one of those New Testaments. It changed my life." Well, Dave was in awe and told her how she could get on the internet a copy of that testament also in her own language as well as English. And so it goes. The Gideons have one goal, and that's to win others for Christ. I couldn't help but think about it as I listened to Pastor Larry and his challenge for us to evangelize. That's exactly what the Gideons are all about. And we do that through personal testimony and through placing the Bible all throughout the world in hotels and motels and hospitals and jails and institutions in over 200 countries now. And last year, we handed out our 2 billionth copy of God's Word. And we partner with churches just like this one who help us to buy those Bibles. David was born in Georgia. His dad was a well-known criminal, and David noticed that his dad was strong and courageous and that he was never beaten by anyone, and so David wanted to be just like his dad. Well, eventually a family friend gave a testament to David's dad, and David's dad started to read it occasionally. And he eventually reached a day where he treated David like a man, and he said, "I'm going to give you this testament." He says, "I can't live by it, but if you would live by it, You would have a different and better life. Well, David kept that testament. His dad died a year later, and David didn't read it right away, but eventually he started to read it. And when he did, it changed his life. He came to Christ as his Savior, and eventually he joined a church. He eventually became a Gideon and handed out scriptures, and now he is a pastor in Moscow. And so life changed because he got his hand on a testament. Terry Hensley was sitting in a closet, and she had reached rock bottom. She felt like a loser. She was twice divorced, underemployed, and she had a gun in her hand, and she intended to end her life. She prayed, "God, if I should not end my life right now, do something." Well, right then, her son runs into the house, and he yells, "Mama, Mama, I have something to show you." And he showed her a testament that he'd gotten at school. And so she sat down and read that testament with him. And she came to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she got a new start in life as a result of that. Now, this story doesn't end with this school testament. She was a traveling person, and she went to conferences and such things. And she went to a conference, and she met a man in her travels at a conference, and his name was Greg. And she witnessed to him about how she had met Jesus Christ, and he also believed. The next day at that conference in the hotel, she saw Greg again, and he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. Did you know that there are Bibles in these hotel rooms? I read all night, and there are great stories in there." So his life was changed as well. A year later, Terry came back to the conference. She was hoping to meet Greg all over again and compare stories in their lives. And so she started asking around because she couldn't find him. And somebody finally told her. He said, 2 days after our last meeting at the conference, Greg had a massive heart attack and died. But he knew Jesus because he'd gotten a Bible and a testimony about Jesus Christ. Now, some of these are far off places. I want you to know how exciting the Gideon ministry is right here in Albany. Our local Gideons have been to some of the motels in recent years, and sometimes the motels tell us, "Oh, it's good. You don't need to look at the Bibles. You don't need to replace them." But in the last 2 years, last spring and this spring, the motels have been very cooperative. I remember going into one. You know, Albany doesn't have five-star hotels. This motel, it had furniture that was carved and graffiti inside, and you open a drawer and to replace the Bible or put a new one in, and it just breaks your heart to see the kind of condition that that room was in. But now, I'm here to tell you that even though the rooms, you may not want your relative to stay there, there is a brand new Bible in some of those drawers, and the visitors will have God's Word. In addition, our local high schools and middle schools, we've been busy there. I want to tell you about Kalpuya Middle School. Last year I went there. I was out right in front of the school on the public sidewalk where we are allowed to be, and one of the parents came up to me just very angry, angry that we would be giving out these testaments to middle school kids. And she got in my face and told me that she was going to call the police. And I said, that's okay, go ahead. We don't care. We're allowed to be here. The school knows we're here. And so this repeated itself again this year. I wasn't there. One of our other Gideons was in that spot. And 3 8th grade girls were right there when this parent came up and started ranting and raving and said, "You can't be here." And the 8th grade girls spoke up and said, "Yes, they can. And we want a copy of the New Testament for ourselves." And later on, our Gideon had a chance to ask those three girls, those 3 8th grade girls, whether they knew where they were going for eternity. And he had a chance to show them the verses that we have on the back page that tell how that we are sinners, and tell how we can accept Christ as our Savior. And all three of those girls prayed with the Gideon to accept Christ as their Savior. What a triumph that is over evil. Not only the middle schools and high schools, but Lynn Bent Community College has become a place where the Gideons are prospering, in a place that you wouldn't expect. It used to be that we would go around the perimeter of the school once a year and give out testaments on one day of the year, but we have found that we are allowed to go into the center of that campus, in the big forum in the center. We can set up a table anytime we want. We just check in with security, and we can hand out testaments. We can engage with the students, and it's a wonderful opportunity. This year, one of the professors had told his class that he thought that they should challenge us, set up right next to us, and start being loud and vigorous in opposition to what the Gideons were doing when they were handing out these testaments. And so we immediately went to security on the campus and told them about what we had heard, and we were assured by the security that they were not going to allow anybody to disrupt our efforts, that they believed in free speech and that this was a good thing. And so this didn't happen. Now, the follow-up on this, the guy who was the professor of that class who wanted to go in opposition, he came to one of our Gideons in just a few weeks ago, and he's 90 years old. He came up to the Gideon and he said, "Did you fight in World War II?" And the Gideon said, "Yes." He said, "I wonder whether you would come and speak to my class." And the Gideon said, "Yes, but I want to be able to tell your class that I'm a Christian and offer to give them Bibles." And the professor agreed to it. Our Gideon went to the classroom and spoke for an hour about his experiences in World War II, but also got a chance and gave out about 15 of these testaments right there in the classroom on the college campus. He asked whether some of them would like to have the Gideons pray for them, and he ended up with a list of 10 names, including the teacher's name, of people who wanted the Gideons to pray for them. This is the opportunity that we have right here locally to engage with people with God's word, and the Gideons are your church extension, and everything that you do, every prayer that you do, opens doors like the one at Lynn Benton Community College. And we just thank you for partnering with us on this. We're going to give you a chance to help us to buy the scriptures, because everything that you give goes for that purpose. It doesn't pay any of our overhead expenses. I'll have an open Bible in the back at the end and to take your offerings for that purpose. Well, there's also this in your bulletin. If you're not prepared today, there's an envelope that will be used that you can use for that purpose. And the last thing is, there's some cards in the back. We have a rack there. Those cards are all free. There's an envelope and a card that you can send to somebody who's grieving, perhaps. And there's also an envelope that you can send a donation in to help us buy those Bibles. So thank you so much for being part of this ministry. I want to mention one more thing. We've got one Gideon here, Jim Marshall, who's part of your fellowship here. You have any questions, go to Jim. He'll answer the questions about the Gideons.
Thank you, Larry. Are there other announcements? Sticking around. Dustin, stand up so everybody recognizes you. This is Dustin Kunkel, is from the district. He is the executive assistant to the district president, so nobody knows more about what's going on in the district than Dust does, and he's going to answer your questions and going to also share a little bit of information about the district. I suspect that We don't know a lot of things that they might be doing, so welcome, Dust. You're also reminded that we do have the congregational meeting today, and there is a meal beforehand. And so, excuse me, you're all welcome to come down for that. And are there other announcements?
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that this coming Saturday is the Native American Flute Concert here at 7 o'clock. Tell your friends and neighbors and relatives and anybody else you're going to do. You're welcome.
I was invited to the ladies' luncheon this past Tuesday, and I want to say a blessed thank you. They honored me by giving me a free lunch plus a whole bunch of gifts that was unexpected, and I just want to say thank you. I feel so blessed, and we feel like we're a real part of the congregation. Thank you.
Other announcements? Part of the creation story that we didn't read today was the part about God said it's not good for man to be alone, and so he was going to give us a helper. And you should know that, that the helper that God gave me reminded me that we didn't do the Lord's Prayer today. and so we'll pray the Lord's Prayer as part of the blessing for the meal that we're about to partake. So we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. Go in peace, serve the Lord.